Static in my attic on Traumedy. Remember that song? Remember that? They didn't say Traumedy. They said Channel Z, B-52s, man. Come on. Get another but static, static, static in my attic, attic, static in my attic on Channel Z. That's how I feel right now. There's much, much static in this boy's attic. Whose attic? Ken Allen, bringing you another Traumedy edition. Welcome back to the podcast, and thanks for listening, and thanks for passing this on. Hey, a lot of people are listening now. It's great. I'm getting a lot of new listeners and followers, and somehow what I'm doing is passing along to you. I guess it's meaningful. I guess it actually does do some good. Or at least I'm entertaining, maybe as a train wreck, maybe as a baller. And people are like, dude, watch this guy just handle this like a boss con un jefe. Who's that? Canithio. He handles this like un jefe. And that's me, man. You have to be the jefe of your own vida, man. So that's me. I'm just, you know, living it up, living it, self-actualization and so forth. Thank you. Remember, now, go through that old traumedypodcast.com and click through the Amazon banner and then come and shop for whatever your little heart desires or what your kids' hearts would desire or what your wife's heart would desire, your husband, or your Z, Channel Z, would desire. And you could just go through my portal, go right up the portal, right in the innards of Amazon, and just open your hand in there and grab hold of whatever you want. And you buy it at cost, but guess what? Because you went through the Amazon banner, I get a little kickback. Not a lot, not at all a lot, but it makes me feel good. And it also shows that people are listening and that what I'm doing actually means something. So, like I said, you just go to the Traumedy Podcast site, which is www.traumedypodcast.com. See the little Amazon thing on the site, click on it, and then it just brings you to Amazon. So it's the same thing that you would do if you had written Amazon. You do a little sidestep. You do a little chink, 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 little hang town, little hang dog step. And then you go and buy something for your dog, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he needs rid. Maybe he needs, maybe you need one of those ball chucker things that you put the tennis ball in because you got a limp wrist because you didn't grow up playing baseball, you know. But that's okay because they make devices for that. And, you know, dude, whatever, man. You're doing it for your dog's sake. Fucking take care of your dog, all right? Let that dog run. Let him stretch his legs. And that's what I've been doing recently, stretching my legs. Okay. Let's get into it. Let's chop it up. This has been a difficult week and a half. This has been an eye-opening week and a half. The Chinese have a proverb. They say, may you live in interesting times. And that can be considered, like a very nice thing to say, but it could also be a very kind of negative curse towards people. May you live in interesting times. And I'm living in interesting times right now. So this is what's happening with me. I'm hitting the wall. The radiation is kicking my butt real hard. Just getting into it. Not too much that, I mean, listen to me. I'm talking fine. So I'm not I'm not wrecked. I have to take pain medication regularly because especially about an hour and a half after the radiation up until about 5 p.m. It feels like just there's my head's in a vice. And then the new thing now is that there's kind of a dagger feeling in my eye, my right eye specifically, which freaks me out because that's where the tumor had gone. By the way, if you're just tuning in, give you a preamble towards this, but I got cancer back in... diagnosed with cancer back in September, had to go through surgery in November, had that happen. It was an 11-hour surgery. After that, now I'm going through radiation. It was cancer of the olfactory nerve of the right side, and it went up into my head, so they had to do a pretty extensive surgery, but non-visible surgery. They went endoscopically through the nose, and everything's working out okay. So far, so good. So radiation is down to the last couple weeks. A few more weeks going, and I'll be done. But radiation kicks your ass. At first, it's like a sunburn. And then you start to smell burning. And I don't have any more smell because of the surgery. They had to take out the nerve that is in charge of smell. And that's closely linked to taste. So I've lost smell and taste. And now I have to do radiation towards that. But there's this, still this kind of link to the brain where I can still kind of smell. To me, it smells like not charred burning, but like if you were to smell a fire, there's something deeper inside that beyond the smoke. There's like a heat smell. And that's what I can smell in my sinuses. It's almost like rust, or it's almost like a char. And I'm pretty sure it's probably like the red blood cells. Either it's the red blood cells that are actually burning and I can smell that kind of rusty smell, or it's a product of the inflammation of the olfactory nerves and the surrounding epithelial tissue and so forth. Or it's just a kind of side reactionary, you know, byproduct of that that my brain is interpreting and analyzing in its own, you know, muted way that kind of smells like burning. Needless to say, still don't have any taste, still don't have any real smell. But I am dreaming in smells, which is crazy because I didn't think you could do that. You actually can. I can dream of a freshly cut grass lawn like when I was in Little League. Now, bring it back to that whole idea. Like I said, you know, when I used to go in with a big old limp wrist and like 8 years old and go and play Little League baseball at Pleasant Valley, and we'd show up there at about 7:30 in the morning, and I'd ride my bike up there, and you can smell that fresh cut grass with the smell of the sprinklers going. And that is in that, that those things indelibly mark your memories and they stay with you forever. So I've been learning because I've been dreaming about that. Like literally I'll have a dream where I just pull up on my Mongoose BMX and get off, and I'm standing in front of the Little League baseball field, and I can smell that grass. And then it'll turn to another chapter, and I'll just go into the next dreaming stage. But you can dream in smells. Who knew? So that's been going on. Here's the other thing that I didn't expect to happen, but I'm starting to lose my hearing. I'm starting to have that other sense become affected. And what it's turning into is tinnitus, so there's a ringing in my ears, a very high-pitched ringing. But the other thing that I didn't expect to happen was with certain high-frequency voices, women, guys who have a high frequency, or anybody who's maybe 20 feet away from me or more, there's this, they'll speak, but in the back of their words, it almost sounds like if you play guitar, you know what a phaser is or a flanger, where it's like, so be like, so why did you even say that? Like behind it. And that, I'm not going to lie to you. When I realized that was happening, it really kicked my ass. Hence, that was the first incarnation of this podcast where I just sat and I just went, so now I'm losing my hearing. I started to get really sad. And it was this whole podcast that was about 10 minutes long. And I went, you know what, man? Yeah, that happens. And I'm sad, but we got to push through that. We got to go past that. Because, like, it's not going to change anything. For me, it's not going to change anything for you. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. And I don't see any point. I don't see any purpose in you feeling sorry for me. Like, push bravely forward. We got to just keep going. I actually told my sister about that, Allison. We had just finished yoga. And I said that to her. We were sitting in like a deli. And I just started crying. She started crying. And I went, see? Oh, I love her, man. You know, I love her, and just kind of hugged, and she gave me a napkin. She's like, knock it off. There's people watching. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. But it was nice to share that with somebody, and I can't do it with my parents because they'll just become nervous wrecks and everything. Like Tyrannosaurus Rex, they'll become like nervous Rex. We got to make it. They'll start freaking out like dinosaurs. It just doesn't do any good, in other words, to share it with somebody if they can't do anything for you. You know, it's a sad part of this whole thing is that I realized that I have an unfortunate thing to bring to the table and bring to everybody's day with this cancer. And it's going to make people weirded out, and it's going to make people sad. And if I'm managing okay, and if I don't need their help, then really there is no point to be negative or to be downtrodden or to be depressed about it in front of them, because what are they going to do? And really, for me, as a problem solver, as a fireman, where I would listen to people's problems. I have to get, the house is flooding. How do I fix it? Oh, I'll fix it for you. And I just walk in and fix it. I'm a problem solver. That's my job. You out there that are emergency responders, you know, most of the time, all you're doing is just solving problems. So it's very frustrating for problem solvers to hear somebody's problem and then not be able to fix it. And they go into a spiral. So it's not okay for me to just walk up. And it just doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying that like I have to consciously stop this and it's something against them. But you just can't. They don't need to know that stuff because there's nothing they can do to help it. So save it for the people that you need to speak with, like an audiologist, somebody who can talk to you about your hearing, or your specific oncologist, or your, you know, physician, and they can maybe help you out with that. Or, you know, your psychologist or your psychiatrist or whoever you're going to, or whoever can actually make a difference for you, save it for them. For the rest of your circle of friends and family and loved ones and caregivers and the rest of the public at large, dude, just be yourself. You're fine. Like, I'm walking around and I'm breathing and I'm not in pain. I'm doing just fine. You know, I got pain pills if I need them. So save it. So don't burden them with that. You don't, you know, like I was saying, my sister is very successful. She's a go-getter. She's worked since the time she was 15, going to KFC, getting my mother to have to sign off for her to work at KFC so she could work the deep fat fryers and work at KFC so she could have some money to start building her life. And from there, it just got better. I mean, how could it get worse, to tell you the truth? But moved on, and she's got a beautiful, two beautiful daughters, an amazing husband. My brother's married and he has a new daughter. And it's nice. I love that. And I don't want to be the one that shows up and they go, oh, here comes the guy with cancer. And they have to brace themselves for that. And it's okay. I understand that, but like, dude, they don't need to do that. There's no reason for them to do that. There's nothing they can do for anything. And I'm doing fine anyway. So they don't need to know that. So I just sneak in and just go, all right, so what's up? What's going on? You know, let's hang out, because that's the most important thing. I want to be somebody who brings good news to the family. I want to be somebody who brings good news. That's it. Sorry, I'm maybe to kind of break up a little bit, but like, I'm due some good news towards them. So, that's the feeling I get here. So what do you do with all this stuff? Dude, just point it towards something you love and go right after it. Go after like the thing that you want to do, you want to make a change with, you want to be successful with, and do that. And then come back to your family and share that with them. Because then it makes them happy. Especially if your family is, as Irish as we are also, you know, my sister's half Jewish. I'm also Italian. We're Portuguese. We're also a very loving family, and we love it. I love it to see my siblings and everybody else doing well and succeeding. So I want to show them that too in my life. Like, I want to share that. They're not going to be like, oh, look at so-and-so fucking here comes Kenneth driving his BMW. And you think, you know, they're not like that. They're not like that. They're like, oh, sweet ride, dude. Can I drive it? You're like, yeah, dude. Jump in. You know, my sister's husband got a Tesla. And he's like, dude, you want to drive this? I'm like, hell yes, I do. He's like, get in, motherfucker. Let's drive this. You know, it's like, yes. Like when I get this, sorry about that. But, you know, when they get success, we get success. Like you share in that shit, man. Because we all are in this one life together. We are. And that's it. So that's what's going on. I want to play for you what it sounds like with my hearing loss. I'll play a real short clip of two movies. And if you know the two movies, email me either at the Facebook page or at unitet@hotmail.com and let me know what movies both of them are. One of them is going to be very easy for you to understand, for you to recognize right off the bat. The other one's a little bit more obscure, and I'm sure my family will know it. But there's this kind of very metallic, tinny sound to it. Excuse me. Which is, they also say, hey, it might go away after radiation. So why am I going to worry about that now? But it hits you, man. And those of you out there with cancer that are going through this, you're going to feel this stuff and you're going to freak out. And it's going to drive you, it's just another thing. And you go, what next? Great. What next? Okay. But I don't know what's going to stay and what's going to leave. So don't focus on it. Just go with the flow. And that's where I've been at here. It's like, I have to get looser. I have to get looser as things go on because things keep coming at me harder. Case in point, no longer going to be covered by San Jose Health HR because I've run out of sick and vacation time. So now I don't get paid anymore from not being in San Jose. And I got to jump through some hoops here real quick to make sure that maybe I can still stay on disability rather than counting all of my previous time as vacation and sick time. So that happened this week too. So San Jose told me, not San Jose actually, it was another company. San Jose has been amazing towards me, just so you know, and I've said this on other podcasts, battalion chiefs are calling me, union presidents are calling me, my boys and, the girls that work there are calling me or texting me and just, hey, sending me letters. Hey, man, fuck cancer. You're a badass. You're going to fucking handle this like un jefe. And that's, it's been amazing. It's been great. But of course, when you get to the administrative level of health insurance, they don't play that game, which sucks because I've paid my whole life into disability, welfare, retirement. And then the moment you need it, they go, well, we're going to have to investigate. And they go, nope, you're denied. And they go, well, I haven't even been seen by a doctor. Well, you're denied until that happens. Okay, so how can you speed that up? Well, you have to go through another channel. And, and it's just they default to no, which I hate. Because nobody can default to no in the emergency setting. You can do it maybe in customer service. You can do it in administrative or, like in the bureaucracy, you can default to no. You can just, well, unfortunately, we can't do this because there's a certain tax. You can't do that when you're a 911 responder. They go, well, my house is flooding. Well, I see that, but unfortunately, we can't act because we're not plumbers. And technically, you need to bring out Roto-Rooter fixes. No, dude, we go in and we fix things. We supersede to successfully mitigate whatever problem is there. That was pretty golden statement just then. And so when I see this happening with this contracted company through the city of San Jose and not the San Jose Fire Department, but who the city has contracted to handle all of their civil servants, you have this pushback and this bureaucratic paper cued bull just I don't even want to get I don't I'm going to start swearing I'm going to start getting angry and that's okay also but it'll kick your ass and so that was that And then the other thing I just found out was, oh, I'm getting canceled from my health insurance from City College of San Francisco because I don't have enough teachable hours at that college. So now, guess what? Floating. No, I can get it through San Jose if I want to, or I can get Cobra or something else. Like, I'll be okay. Bottom line, I'll still be able to pay house rent or house mortgage. And I'm not going to die. I mean, if the worst case scenario is I have to move in with somebody, then I move in with somebody. Like, I'll be all right. Like, I can swing this. It's just this feeling of you're sick, you're nauseous, you're tired. You're getting hit with all these things. And then you start kind of just going, what else is going to happen? What else? And I'm at this point of complete mental and physical break. And then someone's like, oh, and you also have a flat tire with a broken rim. That's going to cost you $600 to fix. Wham! You're like, all right, okay, okay, okay. So what do I do now? Well, I guess there's two options. One of them is you just go, I can't deal with this, and you walk away. And I've never known that person in me. And I'd never have seen that person in anyone that I work with. We're problem solvers. When things get harder, we go, okay, then, so what are we working with? What are the parameters? What are the issues? Here's the three options I have, and you go into it. And of course, this also happens during a rainstorm. When it rains, it pours, everybody. Literally, it's raining outside, and when it rains, it pours. And so when I'm down, when I'm sick, when I don't have any kind of defense, then you start getting your claim has been denied. You don't have medical insurance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's this heat, this little angry fighter in me that just goes, okay, bring it on. What else you got? Okay, I can handle this. Bring it. And I've seen that in firemen, in nurses, in paramedics, EMTs, doctors. You're starved, you're underslept. You've ran 18 calls that day, and then you're on your fourth call after midnight. And you just kind of turn around and you go, yeah, bring it, bring it. Yeah, bring it. I'm trying not to laugh too hard because it's going to blow out the mic. But you just kind of go, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. What are we going on? Toe pain. Toe pain at 4 in the morning? Toe pain. Yeah. Yeah, of course we're going on that. Let's see if we can be the most controlled, hospitable, courteous people on this call rather than lashing out. Like, let's just test ourselves to see how much you can take. And then actually run a call and become more precise by dealing with the stress. And that's where I feel I am right now. I feel like a third baseman, like when you're in baseball, right? To bring it to baseball again, I guess, you know, I'm a third baseman. I'm running in on a slow grounder that was hit to me, and it takes a short hop, and I catch it mid-run in my bare hand, and without even setting, just turn mid-run, wham, right across the diamond to the first baseman, into the pocket. That's how it feels. When you get to this point where you are so loose and you are so overtired and everything's going wrong and you're just off balance, you become looser. And you go, well, let's work with this. Let's work with this feeling. Wham, got the ball, sidearm it. Pow. You see that first baseman takes his glove off and he just like shakes his hand like, ooh, that actually hurt. That was such a straight line drive right back to me. That was precise. And that's how I feel. Like I'm a precise, I get better when I'm off balance. Like Robert Redford says in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, after Strother Martin tells him to shoot that little like puck in the ground, can I move? Move? What the hell you mean move? And he starts to move and he sidearms it, hip shot, quack, hits that puck three times. He says, I'm better when I move. He goes, yeah, you are. So that's how I feel. You get to this point of people just piling shit onto you and you go, bring it. And now, like a trampoline, the deeper the weight on it, the harder that all is going to be catapulted off. And I'm going to be right back on track. or I'm not, and I'm going to die, and that's it, so it doesn't matter. So that could be the case, but it's not going to be the case. Not this time. Not this time. Not this time. You get that stuff that piles up on you, okay? Because it's all more weight to be pushed and propelled off because of its own weight. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense? Don't. All right. So I'm not afraid of that anymore. I know I'm good at anything I can put my mind and my energy towards. And I've also been training for this by the nature of my job to handle increased stress with harder situations, nighttime extrications where I'm in the back holding this guy's C-spine and starting IVs and putting a Sager splint on, and I'm in the position of a belly turret gunner from World War II. My feet are over my head, and I'm setting this up, and I go, what else? What else you got for me? I love a challenge, and this is a challenge. So the stakes are higher. It's more personal. It definitely will resonate to your core more than anything else, but I've been training and doing this anyway throughout my whole life. So while I'm doing this, the other thing is think about what I'm very good at. What should I be pointing my energy towards after this to make sure that my attributes are really put to their best use? Like, use me. Use this stuff inside you. Use these skills that you have to really become unique in your own way, in my own way. And that's what I'm working on. And that's what we're all working on. I'm sorry if this is a big old long rant and, you know, you're feeling it. You know, I'm getting a bit boring. I'm sure you've turned me off. But those of you who are listening, you're my loyal companions. And I love you out there. And if this is resonating to you, I'm glad it does. I'm glad it helps. I hope it's helping you out. And I hope you will also do this and realize when the deck is stacked against you, that's just one hand of cards. The next hand will be completely different. Or also remember, you could trade in your cards. You can get a couple of new cards. You don't just have to have the, you know, you don't have the cards you're dealt. You can also trade them in if you're thinking rationally during those stressful situations. Trade in the cards you don't want. Get the other ones. Pay attention to what's happening. And you're going to be better. Things will always work out. The one way it won't is like, you know, you die or you kill yourself or something stupid like that. Like, dude, it'll all work out. So, and that's not, you know, that's what I'm telling you. There's a lot of interesting ways of looking at it, but really what it comes down to is just go with the flow and live in interesting times. All right? Okay. So here's what it sounds like in my head. I'm going to play that for you right now. And then see what you think about this. And then we'll talk later. So this is 28 minutes, 25 seconds that I've been jaw-jacking. Let me know what this sounds like to you and what movies these are. But that's what it sounds like in my head. And if you got this, if you guys are anybody who's experienced this or has gone through radiation, let me know if you've gone through this and if it alleviated itself. So, all right. I love you. Listen up and I'll talk to you in a minute.
Watch your back,
Luke. Watch your back, buddy. Hit was not bad. Okay, see
what you can do with it. Hang on back there. Red 6, do you see Red 5? There's a heavy fire zone in
there. Red 5, where are you? I can't shut.
Copy,
don't be
it. Move in a minute.
Don't you talk to me like that, you hear?
What way, Mr. Pratt?
Like I was crazy.
Oh, no, sir, Mr. Pratt, sir. I don't think you is crazy, not at all.
I was just trying to run down in my mind who might have a 24-hour fumigating service.
I might be able to get Pirelli Brothers out here by,
shall we say, 11:30?
You might go far, White.
I've noticed that in service jobs, people like yourself often do. People of color, Yes, 11:30 will be fine.
Thanks, Mr. Presser.
I'll call them just as soon as I finish with that shower on 23.
Do it first. Do it now.
Hey, so that's the podcast for this week. I hope it was as funny. I hope it was funnier than I think it was. And I hope it was more inspirational and not so much me being sitting on my high horse telling you what I, you know, trying to be inspirational, but like, you know, actually was viscerally, you know, beneficial towards you. I hate to think that I'm just sitting here expounding and like sounding like I'm Tony Robbins, because he's better than me, first off. And two, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just explaining to you what it feels like to go through this and to realize it's manageable no matter what you're going through. By the way, if you guys get cancer, if you have any diagnosis or any symptoms or something you're concerned with, get in there sooner than go in immediately and get it checked out. Please get it checked out. And hopefully it's something that is treatable and curable. And if and when it is, the treatments these days are very, very doable. They're tough, but they're not insurmountable. And you can definitely get through it. I'm sitting here talking to you, and you can hear my voice. Like, do you hear pain in me? Do you hear, you know, do you hear the nausea or anything? Of course, I'm taking anti-nausea medication. I'm not on Phenergan, but I'm on Compazine, and I have Norco. And that's helping me. It's saving that ear uncomfortability. And even if I didn't have those, I would still be a little bit nauseous and in pain, and that would still be all right. So don't be afraid of this shit. Just grab the bull by the horns, tackle it to the ground, and I don't know, hit a grand slam. I'm trying to think of a baseball reference because I've brought it up so many times tonight. Just you're going to hit it out of the park. Anyway, you're going to be hitting base hits all along the way. So it'll be fine. Your batting average will be okay. You know what I mean? You're going to be chipping and chopping. And that's the whole key to this. Get up in the morning and plow. Get up in the morning and chop wood. And that's how you get towards any goal in life. Just get up and take those steps one by one, chop by chop. Get up and chop wood, bro. Get up and chop wood, honey. Whatever you are out there, just get up and chop wood. So we're chopping it up tonight, and I love you. Thanks for listening up to the podcast. And remember, if you got it, that's right, use it. Talk to you all soon. Bye.
People like to be helpful, so let them. People like to make a challenge a goal. So go ahead and set them. People like to see harmony, dignity and grace. So put a smile on your face. No one likes to be hungry, so feed on. But if they wanna stay thirsty, man, all you can do is lead on. Take a great big bite out of life, and you'll love the taste. And put a smile on your face, yeah. Put a smile on your face. You know we all in this race, yeah. Boy, you're picking up the pace. It's closer than you know. And keep that smile on your face, even when you lost a taste. And your life's in the waste bucket, and the cold wind blows. Thank you. People love to live their lives so earnest. People love to shine their light. So get your lantern and burn it. You know, people, nobody likes it when you wear a frown. So take that sad banana and turn it round and put a smile on your face. Yeah, put a smile on your face. It's closer than you know, babe.